I'm truly overwhelmed by all of this. I give glory to God for everything that He has done in my life and the work that He's doing through CMDA and everyone here. We are called to be soldiers in the army of God, and we are brothers and sisters here together working side by side to further His kingdom. And I give honor to my mother. She passed in 2017, but I know that it's because of her faith and her fear of the Lord and her honor of God and her prayers for me that I'm able to do what I'm doing today. It's not because of me. But I'm also grateful to CMDA for the opportunity to stand and fight, because honestly, like I told Mike Chupp recently, I would have just probably walked away and said, okay, this is getting too hard. I think I just need to leave medicine. But no, CMDA and the rest of you all have encouraged me to stand and fight. It's not always time to walk away. Somebody has to stay and fight, and God has called us to do that. So I just thank you all for this honor. I give honor to my husband, Darren Clark. He's over there. And I'm just grateful that he supports me in this great work. So I love you all, and let's stand together and continue to fight with the power of the Lord. Amen. Amen.
Hi, this is Dr. Mike Chupp, and you are listening to CMDA Matters, the weekly podcast of the Christian Medical and Dental Associations. Well, the voice you just heard at the beginning of today's episode is Dr. Regina Frost Clark. She's my special guest for this week's episode of CMDA Matters. Her strong convictions are an inspiration to all of us in healthcare to help us know how to stand strong in our faith and stand up for biblical values in the midst of today's healthcare environment. And that's why I asked her to join us on the podcast for this particular interview. You're going to learn much more about Regina throughout the interview. So let's jump right into our conversation today. Well, before I officially introduce my guest today, I wanted to read something that she said in a video that she was a part of about 3 years ago on behalf of CMDA. And she said, "Our faith encompasses every aspect of our lives. My convictions, my faiths, and my beliefs are much more important to me than what the government or my employer says. I have to answer to God. I will not allow them to force me to do anything that I felt was morally or ethically wrong. In fact, if they did that, I would be willing to leave medicine altogether if I had to, and that would be unfortunate, but I just cannot go against what I believe." Those were words of Dr. Regina Frost in a video that we produced in 2019. And we're going to get to that here in a few minutes. But Dr. Regina Frost began her education in 1996 at the University of Michigan and got her bachelor's degree in psychology. She went on to medical school at Wayne State University School of Medicine in Detroit, and then did an OBGYN residency at St. John Hospital and Medical Center, also in Detroit. So obviously she loves that Motown. And began her career in 2008 with a medical group and a hospital, and then went on to have a private practice for women's health care and continued to teach part-time at St. John Hospital and Medical Center. She is today an OBGYN with Ascension St. John's Hospital in Detroit, Michigan. She has been an active member of CMDA and currently holds the post as chair of CMDA's Women Physicians and Dentists in Christ. So welcome to CMDA Matters, Dr. Frost.
Thank you so much, Mike. I'm so grateful to be here today.
I'd like our listeners to know a little bit about your personal story. How and when did you become a Christ follower, Regina?
Well, my mother was a very faith-filled woman, and she had me in church at a very young age. I watched her serve with the deaf ministry, and she had me involved in different ministries as a child. And so I was able to hear the gospel for myself in church. And eventually I was able to accept Christ into my life personally.
Well, God gave you a wonderful gift about 2 years ago, I believe, a man who also loves Jesus and is now walking this journey beside you. So, congratulations, I think, on 2 years of marriage.
Yes, thank you. He was a definite godsend because I've told many people that at that point in my life, I had told God I don't need to get married anymore. I was content with where I was, but God saw it fit to bring him into my life, and he's been a true blessing to me. So I'm so grateful for him.
Well, at some time in your past, you chose not only medicine, but also obstetrics and gynecology. Tell our listeners how that happened.
Well, initially, I wanted to be a veterinarian. I wanted to deal with animals. But once I figured out that I couldn't handle dealing with sick animals, I decided to switch to people who could talk to me. But I still wanted to be in a field that was happy. And so as time went on, I had some personal experiences with OBGYNs that unfortunately were not that pleasant. And I decided, since I already knew I was going into medicine, that if I went into the field of OBGYN, that I could learn more about myself as well as teach women the things that I felt that I wanted to know, that they probably would want to know, and treat them in a compassionate manner, the same way that I wanted to be treated. And so, as time went on, I also developed a love for missions. And I felt that by being an OBGYN, I could take those skills across the world and impact the lives of other women. And I also really enjoy having relationships with women. And so, this field has allowed me to develop those relationships.
Well, you do mission at home and abroad. Of course, I've been actually visited with you and Darren there in Detroit, and I know that you have a significant outreach and make a difference among the poor and marginalized there in Detroit. How have you seen things in Motown change over the years that you've been practicing?
The area itself has changed a lot. Detroit has had a comeback, and there's been a lot of revitalization and a lot more energy in the city. But in the field of OBGYN, I've seen that women are very interested in having knowledge and understanding about their health care. There's been some social issues and financial issues in the years that have made it difficult for women to have access to care. And so we see the outcomes of that in the hospitals when women haven't been able to get adequate care due to different reasons. But women really want to be empowered with knowledge about what's happening in their bodies. And so they come with a lot of questions, and I'm glad that they're taking an interest in their own health care.
Well, I talked to you recently, Regina, about our effort at CMDA to bring together a leadership team of OBGYNs to form a new section, specifically because we're in so many medical schools across the country, over 320 medical schools, osteopathic schools, allopathic schools, PA schools, and so forth, that we want to make a difference in putting a practice of OBGYN today in front of our students. And to think about choosing OB. Do you think it's more difficult today for students to choose OB than in the past?
I absolutely do because there are a lot more issues in our society that students are realizing that they may face if they go into the field. When I was younger and considering OBGYN, the main thing I had to think about were work hours and malpractice. But now we have other social issues such as transgenderism and abortion issues and rights of conscience and things that I never had to face. And I've even had students contact me through CMDA asking if they should still go into OBGYN. So I'm grateful that CMDA sees a need for this section because I think it's going to be needed for the students and it will be beneficial.
We are certainly an incredible role model of courage and the willingness to continue practicing and stand up for what you believe and willing to take care of all patients, but not necessarily willing to do all procedures. Let's talk about how the world was rocked just a couple of months ago in the Dobbs decision, and we're living in a post-Roe era. what are the conversations that are happening among your staff there at the hospital or in your clinic about the Dobbs decision?
So when the decision initially was made, some of the staff were unhappy about it or concerned about the patients. The patients themselves have been coming in and they've been concerned about whether they will have access to contraception based on this decision. And they also are trying to think ahead of time what they should use for contraception since the option for abortion may not be available to them in the future. In the state of Michigan, it's still legal to have an abortion, but this decision has caused a lot of conversation and some people have been very concerned about it.
Are there any restrictions in Michigan? I practiced there some time ago, but I haven't looked at the current laws. What's in place there?
Currently, terminations are allowed up until 24 weeks or just under 24 weeks. And so at present, I don't believe that the laws have changed based on this current decision. And our current governor is working to try to maintain the current laws that are in place.
So what do you think about the conversation that's going on? You know, you just mentioned some misunderstandings that some of the patients who've come in have had about birth control. What do you think about the conversations that are flying around? Some of them propagated by even ACOG or the AMA, that women who are having miscarriages or ectopic pregnancies are just, they're going to be put at risk. What do you think about that conversation?
So far, I haven't had a lot of patients come in to talk to me about that directly. But if, as you have heard, they're asking even about contraception, so I'm sure this will come up. This is not an issue for us, though, because as it has always been, ectopic pregnancies and miscarriages will be taken care of. We will care for the needs of the woman in front of us, especially if it involves something that could save her life. And so this decision has nothing to do with treating women for ectopic pregnancies or miscarriages. And we will continue doing the work that we were doing before.
Regina, would you agree with me that there are many opportunities here for dialogue with our colleagues who respect us and we respect them? What do you think about opportunities that we have to have respectful dialogue?
I think that's a very good question. And it's something that I have been even thinking about myself as patients come in and even as I listen to the staff. One goal that we have to remember is to maintain relationships. The Lord wants us to be relational, and it's not about being right or wrong or trying to place our opinion over someone else, even if it's truth. And so we have to make sure that in our conversations, we're speaking with grace and truth, but in love. And so if at the end of the day, this conversation is just going to lead to some argument, we probably shouldn't entertain that. But if it's going to provide perspective and education and at the end still maintain relationship, I think that's the approach that we should take with the patients and with our colleagues. And that may mean sometimes not even responding to certain comments that people are making, because that just can lead to arguments.
Let's segue a little bit to a different topic, a topic that you've invested a lot of time in, have been such a great help to us at CMDA, conscience protections. Back in 2019, the HHS, during the Trump era, issued a new conscience protection rule that we had long awaited at CMDA, because it really was pretty strong. It set up some fences, some boundaries for hospitals and clinics that could not impose upon OBGYNs like you to be able to have to refer for abortion, and then would penalize institutions that would strong arm doctors like you. And then immediately Planned Parenthood, because of this new conscience rule that was put forward into action, Planned Parenthood and I believe five states sued HHS and got an injunction in the state of New York. And so we turned to Dr. Regina Frost and asked if you would be willing to actually become a defendant in the case and be really the face of doctors of faith who do not want to offer abortion. I think you became a wonderful ambassador of conscience, if you will. So tell us a little bit about what that experience was like for the first time being named as a defendant with HHS in a lawsuit.
Wow, yes. I was initially overwhelmed because I had never been involved in a case before. And I really had to submit to prayer whether I should be involved or not, because as I've told others, my initial thought was that if things got too difficult in medicine and if I felt that I was being pushed in an area that I didn't feel comfortable with morally and ethically, that I would just have to step away from medicine, that would be my sign. But then when CMDA approached me with this opportunity to join them in this fight, I had to rethink my position. And this process really has caused me to learn how to fight, how to stand up for what is right, instead of thinking that I just need to excuse myself from the situation. And I received a lot of support when we first got started and the first article went out about this. There were people that I didn't even know that were calling me from different states, calling my office, leaving messages in support of the work that we were doing. Yes, it was so encouraging. And I thank those people for reaching out. And so that helped build my confidence in this situation and encourage me to continue on.
Well, one of my highlights driving into the office here in Bristol one morning was listening to Al Mohler's briefing and hearing him mention your name in an article that was written about your stand there during the lawsuit there in New York, I think in 2020. And it was just really cool for me to hear about my friend, Dr. Regina Frost, being mentioned. And I think Regina is an amazing poster professional, as I call her, for someone who is so gentle and meek, respectful, and is an amazing, loving messenger of truth. And so it's really tough for the other side to throw mud at Dr. Frost because of her respectful approach. And would you agree, Regina, that if you can be involved in advocacy like this, that anybody can?
I absolutely agree, because I'm not one that likes any type of conflict. And so, but God has shown me with his help and the support of CMDA and others that this can be done. And so I encourage others to get involved as well.
Well, as a result of your courage, this last April, some of our listeners are aware of this, but our board decided to honor you with our President's Heritage Award. And I think it was a surprise to you. Your husband, Darren, did a wonderful job keeping that from you so that in our plenary session, you were called upon to speak. And I got so much positive feedback from people who were there attending and heard your response to that and appreciation. It came from the heart and it was spontaneous. You did a great job in receiving that award and being such an inspiration to those who were in attendance.
Oh, I was so grateful for that award. It was unexpected. And so I just thank CMDA for recognizing me and showing God's love to me in that way.
Well, let's segue to a different topic, one that is very near and dear to your heart, so much so that you were willing to become chair of the ministry, and that's Women Physicians and Dentists in Christ. How did you get introduced to what we lovingly call WPDC?
I actually have two colleagues and friends that they attended a WPDC conference in the past, and when they came back, they brought the information to me and they brought information about CMDA as well. And I had no idea that this organization existed. I had heard some about CMDA a little bit, but I didn't know anything about the Women Physicians and Dentists in Christ. And as soon as I started reading the pamphlets, I said, this is a group that I need to be a part of. They seemed like they would just get me. So the very next year, I decided to go to a conference on my own. And I was welcomed with open arms. And at that point, I was asked if I wanted to join with the commission. And so it was a lot going on, but it was good.
Well, give us a high-level view of what's going on at WPDC. You've been the chair. You're coming up on 2 years and handing over to the next chair, I think, next month at the annual meeting. What have been the highlights for you in the last couple of years with WPDC?
I would say some of the highlights are, first of all, the resiliency of the ministry, especially through COVID. The women still were eager to get together in any way possible. And so we had a virtual conference, our second annual virtual conference in the wintertime in February earlier this year. And we had over 200 women online joining in for that. And then when we were able to meet in person again last year for our conference in Michigan, we had, again, over 200 women that came in person and the most students we've ever had, like 25 students. And so just to see the fact that the women really care about fellowship, about connection and engaging is really a highlight. Additionally, we have started to work on more structure within the ministry by setting up our governance committee and working on our policy manual, as well as increasing the number of students that are part of our mentoring program. And then we're also getting more involved with missions again now that we're able to. So these are all very exciting things that I've been able to witness these last couple of years.
Well, and I'm sure it's not surprising to any of our listeners who are familiar with the demographics of medicine these days that more than half the grads coming out of medical school and dental school are women. And so therefore, it's not surprising that the ranks of women physicians and dentists who love Jesus are swelling. And so I think your attendance at the annual meeting has steadily been growing, even though COVID has thrown a curveball. Is that true?
That is true. And that's so encouraging to see that in the face of even COVID, that we still continue to grow. And we are looking forward to meeting again next month in Newport Beach.
How can women get involved, attend, or in the bigger picture, get involved in any of the ministries of WPDC?
Well, there's a lot of information on our website. If they go to the CMDA website, they can find us there. And you can register online right there. And we have a monthly Pulse, which is our newsletter that comes out. And so if they're interested in learning more about us, we can always send them that information and they can be a part of that and hear about what's going on every month. And if they come out to the annual conference, we can also find ways that they can get involved at the conference and have sign-up sheets for other retreats, missions, trips, marriage enrichment weekends, and lots of other things. So they can contact me or Debbie McAleer, and we can definitely point them in the right direction.
And in our show notes today, we will definitely have some links, including a link to a 5-minute video that you produced with the help of Beckett Law, as well as our CMDA media department, about protecting conscience rights, that lawsuit from 2019. You know, I think one of your emphases has been to mentor young healthcare professionals through the transitions in their lives. And I know that you've made that an emphasis at WPDC, have you not? Mentoring women in healthcare?
Yes, absolutely. We have a mentoring program through WPDC that involves both medical and dental students, and it is growing. They meet for socials, they get together at the annual conferences. It's just very important for students and residents to be connected with someone that's like-minded, that can encourage them, that can provide some spiritual direction and help them to grow as they move forward in a career in medicine and dentistry. So yes, we are so excited about our mentoring program.
Thank you for joining us today, and excited to see you next month here in Bristol for our fall board meeting.
Thank you, Mike. It's been an honor and a privilege to be here with you today, and I look forward to seeing you soon.
Well, what an amazing God coincidence, if you will, that we had planned for Dr. Frost Clark to join us for this week's episode, because I have a very important announcement for you that relates to just what we've been talking about. If you've been watching the news closely since the U.S. Supreme Court overruled Roe v. Wade in the Dobbs decision back in June, you are likely aware that the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, or HHS, has been working to create pathways to abortion, especially in pro-life states. Well, on July 11th, 2022, HHS released a guidance that they entitled Reinforcement of MTALA, E-M-T-A-L-A, Obligations Specific to Patients Who Are Pregnant or Are Experiencing Pregnancy Loss. That same day, HHS also released a letter to healthcare professionals calling their attention to the guidance and further detailing its significance. Well, if you're not familiar with EMTALA, it stands for the Emergency Medical Treatment and Labor Act, and it was passed into law back in 1986 for the sole purpose of preventing patient dumping from smaller hospitals, institutions, to larger referral hospitals. There's actually nothing in the original act that pertains to abortion. And actually, the law specifically references the safety of the unborn child on multiple occasions. HHS has decided to utilize this past and unrelated law to force hospitals, as well as healthcare professionals in pro-life states, to perform abortions on women who present to the emergency room with an emergency condition while pregnant. The guidance emphasizes the language of doing whatever is necessary, quote, irrespective of any state laws or mandates that apply to specific procedures, end quote. Well, we at CMDA joined a lawsuit that was brought by the state of Texas against this appalling intrusion by HHS. And I'm extremely pleased to tell you that the Federal District Court of Northern Texas granted a preliminary injunction against this new guidance on Wednesday, August 24th, 2022. And this means all CMDA members across the country are protected from being forced to either perform or effectively refer patients for an abortion under this new HHS guidance. We are extremely thankful for Alliance Defending Freedom and their legal expertise in representing our members at this crucial time. If you'd like more information, you can read our press release on the decision by going to cmda.org/newsroom. Believe it or not, last week was phenomenal. It wasn't the only federal court case victory that we received. 6 years ago, the federal government issued a transgender mandate as part of the Affordable Care Act and tried to apply it to virtually every healthcare professional nationwide. The requirement would have forced healthcare workers to perform these procedures or medical treatments on any patient, including on children, even if the procedures or treatments, for example, the use of puberty blockers, went against their conscience and professional medical judgment. Since 2016, we have been engaged in a case to halt that mandate for our members and others, and you've probably heard me talk about that case over these last 2 or 3 years. Well, back in August 2021, we received a permanent injunction while the case worked through the appeals process. And on Friday, last week, August 29th, the U.S. Court of Appeals from the Fifth Circuit affirmed the lower court's order permanently stopping HHS from requiring our CMDA members to perform gender reassignment surgeries, so-called gender-affirming treatments, or even abortions in violation of their sincerely held religious beliefs or their medical judgment. You can find out more about this case by going to cmda.org/transgender mandate. Well, you can imagine we are certainly rejoicing here at CMDA. These two court victories are two incredible reasons to invite your colleagues to join CMDA, because the protections afforded to us in these cases are only applicable to current and future CMDA members and other plaintiffs of record in both of these cases. This week, would you take a few minutes and invite a couple of your colleagues in healthcare to join CMDA? You can find out more and direct them to our website, cmda.org/join. If you have any questions or concerns regarding the protections offered in these two cases, just contact CMDA's advocacy team using the email address advocacy@cmda.org. You know, here at CMDA, we are thankful for modern-day Esthers just like Regina. She took a courageous stand for faith just as the biblical heroine did. In recognition of her dedicated support of CMDA, as well as her courage in standing up for truth in the public square, something she had never done before, and in the courts to protect the right of conscience for healthcare professionals across the country, CMDA presented the President's Heritage Award to Dr. Regina Frost Clark at our 2022 CMDA National Convention earlier this year. I would encourage you to visit cmda.org/awards if you'd like to watch the award video and learn more about how Regina stepped into the fray and testified in federal court on behalf of religious healthcare professionals nationwide. And if you want to watch the video that we created with her about right of conscience, you can find it on our YouTube channel or in our show notes today. We are in an age of increasing hostility toward believers in the healthcare arena on issues including abortion, assisted suicide, sex, and gender. And we need more Esthers and Daniels to stand up and speak out. If you've been praying and seeking God's will about joining our advocacy efforts, I hope that today is the day that you contact our advocacy team to learn more about how you can get involved and you can stand up for life as well as protect your healthcare right of conscience. Again, you can connect with our advocacy team using the email address advocacy@cmda.org. Regina is a great mentor and role model for women in healthcare, which is why it's so fitting that she is currently serving as chair of CMDA's Women Physicians and Dentists in Christ Ministry, which you heard us refer to as WPDC during the interview. It is an outreach ministry to provide resources for Christian women physicians as well as dentists to integrate their personal, professional, and spiritual lives. They encourage and support Christian women and physicians as they share the unique challenges of their multiple roles. They do so by organizing an annual conference, weekend retreats, publications, mission opportunities, marriage enrichment weekends, and much more. And you can subscribe to the WPDC Pulse, which is their monthly e-newsletter. If you're not yet involved, please consider visiting cmda.org/WPDC if you'd like to learn more today. Ladies, I've been talking about this upcoming event for the last several months, but if you haven't yet registered for the WPDC annual conference, now is your chance. You are invited to join WPDC on September 15th through the 18th in beautiful Newport Beach, California. Topics there will include burnout, boundaries, well-being, dealing with difficult patients, and end-of-life care, as well as many more topics. So join the ladies of WPDC for a fun weekend as you find rest in our Savior. For more information and to register, just visit cmda.org/WPDC. As we close out this week's episode, I'd like to invite you back next week for my conversation with Dr. Joy Riley. As a bioethicist, she contributed a chapter to a new book just released under the title Choose Life, and I can't wait to talk with her about it. As always, if you want to suggest a future guest for the podcast, you can email us at cmdamatters@cmda.org. And if you like our podcast, be sure to give us a 5-star rating and share us on your favorite social media platform today. I want to leave you with this quote from a student CMDA member from Arkansas who said he values CMDA so much for the opportunity to, quote, fellowship with other like-minded believers in a profession that is nearly devoid of Christian influence, end quote. Our role as Christians in healthcare, well, it's becoming more and more important, friends, and critical for us to stand up for our faith in a profession that is, to quote the student, nearly devoid of Christian influence. Will you follow in the footsteps of Dr. Regina Frost Clark and be a guiding force for change in healthcare? By doing so, you will bring the hope and healing of Christ to our world. That's what matters to CMDA. and CMDA matters. We'll see you next week with Dr. Riley, God willing.
This podcast has been a production of the Christian Medical and Dental Associations. The opinions expressed by guests on this podcast are not necessarily endorsed by the Christian Medical and Dental Associations. CMDA is a nonpartisan organization that does not endorse political parties or candidates for public office. The views expressed on this podcast reflect judgments regarding principles and values held by CMDA and its members, and are not intended to imply endorsement of any political party or candidate.